fucking hot come summer if I can't. Yeah.
Hey everyone, this is the Final Play Podcast, where this week we're reviewing week one of a chaotic NFL season opener, along with Antonio Brown and his chaoticness, along with any NFL related news. Don't forget to follow us on all the socials that we're on, Facebook, SoundCloud, and Twitter. Welcome, everyone. My name's Jason. With me is Miles. Hello.
Hello, everybody. How are you, mate?
Good after, like I said, a chaotic week one of the NFL.
It's
not just inside the NFL either.
It's back. It's all the stuff about, yeah, nobody really gives a, you know, what about preseason football? Week one's in the books.
So with week one, have a quick recap of all the games. Winners, the Thursday night game was the Packers, the Redskins and Eagles, winning 32-27, the Bills, just getting over the Jets 17-16, the Minnesota
Vikings.
Very crazy comeback, which we will touch on later. The Minnesota Vikings decisively beating the Atlanta Falcons 28-12. The Ravens, which I will bring up later, demoralizing the Dolphins 59-10.
Oh.
The Chiefs 40 points over the Jaguars 26. The Cleveland Browns losing to the Tennessee Titans, which we'll touch on later with the score.
Cleveland's sad faces.
A lot of sad faces, especially if you're on fantasy. The Rams beating the Panthers. The Seahawks beating the Bengals.
I had their defense on fantasy this week. So, yeah, 43 points. Dusted.
The Chargers beating the Colts. The 49ers beating the Buccaneers. My boys demoralizing New York Giants, the Cowboys over the Giants.
As if that wasn't going to happen.
The Lions and the Cardinals playing at a draw, 27-all. Patriots doing what Patriots normally do, 33-3 over a lackluster Steelers. Another great game, Monday Night Football. The New Orleans Saints are just getting over the line, which we'll talk about later, against
the Texans. Heart attack material.
30-28. And rounding out the round was the Raiders just getting over the Broncos 24-16. So Miles,
so glad I have Drew Brees on my team.
and possibly Will Lutz too.
Well, no, that's right. Yeah, career long 58 yard field goal for the win. So, you know, with time expiring, which obviously could have been the same situation as the NFC Championship game last year, but yeah, neither here nor there.
Well, let's start with that game. I know it's Monday Night Football, and we skipped for a few anyway, but what did you think of the game? It's funny, when I watched it, because I had the luxury of watching it at work, I mean, look, New Orleans did very well to come back, but I wouldn't discredit Houston Texans at all. DeAndre Hopkins and Deshaun Watson had that game in the bag and were really overpowering New Orleans, I thought. And look, they did well to come back, New Orleans, but yeah, I was full credit to Houston. They really deserved to win that game, but just couldn't come up at the end.
The Superdome's a tough place to go into and do what they did. They come out on fire. They come out terrific. New Orleans are, especially at the start of the season, like I've only been really super interested in the NFL for about 5 or 6 years, and I've sort of noticed that the Saints are notoriously slow starters, whether it's season wise, or you know, just in this game as well. Like they come out a little bit flat. Houston came out on fire, out great. Like the Saints front seven was terrific. It was, unfortunately, they gave up a lot of deep balls to Deshaun Watson. There was like four or five, might have even been more than that, 40 plus yard completions for Deshaun Watson. It was crazy. They were sort of getting in behind the Saints safeties and cornerbacks and everything. And they're a good young core there with Marshawn Lattimore and Marcus Williams. Eli Apple, guys like that generally don't get beaten like that. But in saying that, DeAndre Hopkins is one of the best. He's one of the best receivers in the game. So to sort of have them score 28 points, that was four touchdowns in your own building is a little concerning. But boy, they gave Watson all he can handle. He got sacked six times and he got hit 11 times. So
That's been the story of the Houston Texans, which they tried to shore up by that trade with the Miami Dolphins, just giving Deshaun Watson protection. But
that's only protecting his blind side as well. Like, they need to do a better job. That front five needs to do a better job as a collective, because he can't keep getting hammered by that. The Saints front defensive linemen are really good. So you can't, and there's teams out there that are going to do exactly the same to him. Yep. And to me, Drew Brees hardly got touched.
The same thing happened to him last year. And there was at one point where he couldn't fly back to Houston because he had to drive. I think it was from Kansas City or somewhere like chaotic, like Kansas City or LA or something, where he had to fly. He had to drive all the way back because if he was in that, the pressure and the elevation was going to blow up his ankle because he just kept.
I do remember that.
Like, I mean, he runs, he's a great runner.
Oh, he's a great scrambler, man. When he got away, he was terrific. But he got pummeled a lot, though.
Yeah, but it's from the snaps. Like, he just...
They had to take that 40-yard... I think it was 13 seconds or 15 seconds or something. It was two plays, got down the field, scored... But this is what I'm talking about in the last minute. But unfortunately, they left Drew Brees one time out in 37 seconds to get within field goal distance. And the Houston defense were just why they were scared to give up the big play. But unfortunately, as I said, Drew Brees hasn't got the biggest arm anymore.
No.
So it was always going to be little dinks over the top, and use post contact meters. That's all I seen. They just left Drew Brees too long, and Will Lutz had a 58 yard field goal to win as time expired.
Yeah, and what a kick it was. So it was it was when time expired, but it was a crazily good kick. It didn't even look like he was going to fall short either, which was amazing.
Nah.
But that seems to be the way it is now with these kickers. Like, used to be like anything under, I'd say you're 50 yards, you're going, there's no way they could do that. And now they're breezing 55 yards now.
Well, it was generally only, those long field goals were generally only in, places like Denver where, they're elevated and they can get the ball to sail through the air a little bit further. But, to have it in New Orleans where the air's a little bit denser because it's always humid in New Orleans. So, For a 58 yard field goal for the win, Kamara was awesome. Thomas was awesome, and the big key for me in the New Orleans offense is going to be Ted Ginn Jr. if he can be a threat and take some focus off Michael Thomas, then whew, look out. 30 points that they scored is going to be nothing.
Yeah, correct. Plenty of other games, but the Buffalo Bills game against the New York Jets. The Buffalo Bills scoring 17
down,
so they were 16
down
zip.
16 zip.
Yeah. Which I thought it was sort of led by Devin Singletary with his 70 yards and just with four carries.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, exactly. Big breaks, and I think they're pretty high on him as well. So I'd sort of say that he'll feature a little bit more, and they'll try not to run Josh Allen as much and try and keep him, you know, just purely as a passing quarterback. But his accuracy's got to get better.
Yeah, and it's interesting. Like, I thought
two interceptions and two.
It's interesting. I thought when they traded Deshaun Watson, I thought Frank Gore was going to to the Chiefs.
LeSean
McCoy, sorry, that's it. When they traded him, I thought Frank Gore would get a lot of the ball. And going by that, it doesn't seem like, yeah, he'll get ball, but he won't get the yards needed. I think that maybe you're right. Maybe Devin Singletary is their core person.
I think so. I think, Frank Gore will be the backup. Like, he's always going to give you, Frank Gore is always going to be super consistent and give you, give you the solidarity at the back. But yeah, Singletary is going to be your big play threat at running back. So the Jets offense just sort of stalled a little bit. Not having they were too one dimensional. Just in their passing game, I think it was Jameson Crowder was pretty much the only one that was getting a bulk of the throws from Sam Darnold. So, Le'Veon Bell, 17 carries, 60 yards. He probably could have done a little bit more rushing. Jameson Crowder had 14 receptions, and everybody else all single figures. And the next highest one was Le'Veon Bell. Like, there was no spread offense. So the Jets acquiring Demaryius Thomas from the Patriots, which is interesting because that's trading in the division as well. Obviously, the Patriots aren't too worried about the Jets.
Not this year anyway.
Why would you be? You wouldn't be worried about anybody in that division if you were the Patriots. Why would you be? they got the easiest schedule every single year.
Yeah,
six
true.
Divisional games that there will be six wins, even though they have a bit of trouble in Miami, but they won't have any trouble next week against Miami. But yeah, I think with Thomas going to the Jets, I think that that obviously gives Darnold another target to sort of go to, so we can spread everything, spread the passing game around. I think that's going to help him. I think, and also
I think he does like Sam loves. It's only been 1 week, but I think he loves having Le'Veon Bell there. Running option. But like you touched on earlier, while having him there, there could be a few more yards that Le'Veon Bell could actually get. So,
yeah, well, that's a lot of that too can be on the offensive line as well, sort of not creating enough gaps and seams and everything for him to sort of slip through, because his longest run was only 12 yards. So, he's got that explosive play ability. That can certainly improve. And with time, he's been out. He hasn't played a game of football in more than a year. So
self-imposed, but that's okay.
As time goes on, he'll get better, and he'll get more acquainted with the thing of that, and I think they'll be fine.
Another big standout game was the Baltimore Ravens, 59-10 over a very, very poor Miami Dolphins. I mean, it's no really sort of hiding around it. Lamar Jackson was the standout from that game. Five pass touchdowns. And he's just a freak. I mean, yeah, he five touchdowns, 324 yards. And he just, everything he threw, just, I don't know if it was, if we're talking up the Ravens too much, or that was just too easy because no one.
I think that's a little bit of overreaction Monday, I think, as they would say on the TV show NFL Live. It's the first game of the season. Okay, they went down to Miami and belted them a little bit, but it's hard to see that they'll do anything like that again. I think everybody's going to do that in Miami. They'll probably, you'd think that they would show a little bit more this week. But unfortunately, the Dolphins have got the Patriots.
I guess the one good thing with the Baltimore Ravens that a lot of their players, like Lamar Jackson, their receiving player Marquise Brown, there are a lot of young players. So, I mean, like you said, they're probably not going to like light everybody up on fire, but they have a pretty good young core. To go places. So, I like watching them, obviously. I mean, everyone likes seeing big points, but.
But you don't want to see a team demoralized by 49 points like that. That's not a good product, and it'll be interesting to see how many people turn up to Hard Rock Stadium there in Miami next week against the Patriots, because I think everybody's going to be expecting another shellacking.
It's probably taking in a grain of salt, I suppose, because of who really wants to show up for the Dolphins? Like I think we were sort of touching on outside the pod. I think every agent for Miami Dolphins players must be on the phone now saying, "Get me the hell out of
get me out of here!" Like, it's just there, and that's the front office's fault. They're setting them up to fail. Like, the guys are going to go out there and give their all, and try and do the best they can. But the coach Brian Flores is going to do his best to try and put in a game plan for them to try and win. But if you don't have the talent there, then they're in the tank. They're in the tank for Tua. So we said in the NFL preview pod last week. Yeah, they're on the tank for Tua.
Well, speaking of talent, lack thereof. Lack thereof. This team is a talented team, but losing the Cleveland Browns, 43-13. What the hell happened?
I don't think anybody seen that coming.
No.
Tennessee's defense, I think everybody's saying, is going to be pretty good. Yeah. But for them to hang 43 points on a team that they also think that has got a pretty decent defensive, especially a young defensive core, for them to hang, for Mario, 43 points on it, and Derrick Henry. It's just one of those blips. Did Baker have three turnovers in the final quarter? Like, it wasn't really decided really until the final quarter.
No,
Tennessee really put it hard on him.
Yeah,
at the end of the third and throughout the fourth quarter, and then they ran away with it.
Yeah, correct, and. I mean, it could be a lot of things. It could have been, were the players buying into their own hype? Were Tennessee Titans really that good too?
That's pretty clear that they are buying into it. But as we said in the pod before as well, in the preview, Freddie Kitchens had never been a head coach of anything. They've got a lot of personalities in that. you know, in that locker room, you know, on that team to sort of, you know, for him to sort of manage and try and bring together. Plus, you know, a lot of new players there as well. And, you know, chemistry takes time to sort of work out, especially if certain people don't show up to training camp and you know, all you hear on other platforms that they all go on about, oh, you know, don't need to go to training camp and don't need to play in preseason games. And it's to me, it's rubbish. You need to be, I think, you know, the starters, not the whole game, but, you know, preseason games, they need to play a little bit. Do you know what I mean? Just to sort of, you can't replicate at practice what happens in a game. You can't do it. And even, all you're doing is practicing against your own team as well. Like you've got to go into preseason games and look at different schemes and look at what people are going to scheme for you to get better.
Even if it's just for the chemistry alone, just to have the chemistry alone, because these guys are going to play 16 times during the year with each other.
And that's so it. They're only allowed to have a certain amount of padded practices and everything as well.
Correct.
So I mean, when you're only going up against your own team, and I know during the preseason they have joint practices with other teams and stuff like that, but you can't replicate in game. And that's, I mean, these guys that you sort of listen to on the radio and on TV over there, that they've been talking about the NFL for 1,000 years. And all I can see is it's like preseason games with footy here. You still need to play a little bit, especially if you've got a lot of new people there. It's different for people like Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady and Drew Brees and guys that have been on their teams for a long time. They've got established coaches. So you don't really need to do, you know, a lot. You need to find out what sort of fringe guys and everything, you know, could possibly be on the roster. But when you're a team like the Browns, they've got a lot of new, you know, a lot of new people there and everything. Baker Mayfield, this is only his second year in the league. Odell Beckham Jr. Yeah, these guys, you need to have reps on the field. And even if you only go out there for the first half and then you put all the backups in for it. But it's just that you can't replicate what you get in game situations.
Yeah, well, I mean light at the end of the tunnel. Baker Mayfield did throw for 285 yards in that game, but which was pretty good, but
three interceptions. That's not terrific.
Well, that's true. Yeah, so three interceptions, 285 yards. I just think, it could have been buying their own hype. I think Odell Beckham could have played a lot better in that game. He didn't even reach over 100 yards. So
seven catches, I think.
Seven? Yeah, for 75 yards. So
that's ordinary by his standards. And once again, I think that's you know, is that just the chemistry? Is that just the chemistry thing?
And yeah, right.
He wasn't there. He was there during training camp, was he?
No.
That's what I mean.
And even if he was, so, I don't think I don't remember him playing in any preseason game at all.
No, I don't think he wouldn't have played any preseason games. But all the crap that you hear about, we don't want him to get hurt and everything like that. So have a look at what happened in the KC Jacksonville game. You know, Nick Foles is only out there for, he's not even out there for a half. And on his first touchdown pass, he gets hit, broke collarbone, and he's probably gone for 10 weeks.
Yeah.
So it's football. It's a contact sport. People are going to get hurt, whether it's in, you know, whether it's in preseason games or whether it's in regular season games. Obviously, people are happy to see people get hurt in regular season meaningful games and not in the preseason. Okay, that's cool, but it doesn't matter. People are going to get hurt.
Finishing on the Browns. Interestingly enough, they've never won a week one game since 2004. So 15 years, the trend seems to be continuing.
Yes. It looks like we've got to wait for next year for them to break that.
Might be 16 years. other couple of games I was going to touch on. The Cowboys. 35-17 at home. It wasn't obviously the Ezekiel Elliott show. It was definitely
they started a bit slow. They started a bit slow too. Like the Giants put the first score on the board.
Correct. And it just ended up being the Dak Prescott show. 405 yards.
Dak Prescott show.
With four touchdowns and 405 yards. I mean,
Didn't he have a perfect passer rating as well?
Yes. But the thing I was happy to take away from that in terms of a Cowboys fan was Amari Cooper wasn't the only receiver that was up there of 100 yards. Like Michael Gallup topped it with 158 yards. It was good having another receiver, or not just Amari Cooper, to aim at. Like having a second one is giving Dak options.
It's the key to all offense, especially if you've got, you know, if you're going to have a high power, especially with a dominant running back. You know, it's essentially the same as the Saints. You've got, you know, Dak Prescott. You know, and what damage do you reckon that's going to do to Jerry Jones's wallet now that he's had that big performance? And okay, it's only against the Giants. They've got a couple of easy games coming.
What do you think?
What do you think? What do you think he's worth realistically? What do you think? Not what Jerry's going to pay. What do you think the way that Dak Prescott's played? What do you think he's worth a season?
See, I can't. It's hard to go off. Like what you just said. It was just against the Giants. It was just one game. Look, yes, he. Yes, it was a great game, and yes, he's been fairly consistent. I don't think he should be the most valuable quarterback in the NFL. I would love to keep him, and I believe we're going to keep him. But he's not. I mean, look, we can't really go off Tom Brady because Tom Brady wants to win. He doesn't care what he gets paid. But
yeah, towards Tom, 23 mil. Drew Brees is 25 mil. You know, they're two of the better quarterbacks going around. But Russell Wilson's got the highest contract at the moment, isn't he? Got 35 mil. But Matt Ryan is up there. You know, Jared Goff just got paid. So
Matt Stafford's getting $29.5 million. So
no, that's right.
Realistically, what did Jared Goff get paid?
27.5 million.
That's, I guess at what I see, it's hard because I think that's where I would put Dak Prescott at about that $29.5 million. I don't think that's what he wants.
27.5.
So
I was going to say between 25 and 30.
Yeah, I'd put him at that same level as Jared Goff. I don't think after one Super Bowl appearance, I don't think Jared Goff's even worth that $27.5 million. But he's a young quarterback, so I suppose they really had no sort of choice. And just like Carson Wentz got paid too. But
That's right, and he's never played in a playoff game, but yeah, he got his money. So you know, obviously, like the potential's there with Wentz. He's just got to stay healthy.
Correct. There's no way he's going to be worth. I don't see him getting paid more than Russell Wilson. Pretty sure that's not going to happen.
You don't know.
Yeah, we don't. Yeah, you're right. We don't know. But I mean, like you said, you Drew Brees.
I wouldn't value him that high.
No, I wouldn't value him at high. And even like Big Ben. Big Ben gets 45 million is his salary. Yeah, I reckon around that 27 million mark. I think that's fair.
I think that's fair, but if Jerry Jones, if he's got the money in the cap, but you don't want to hog tie yourself too much to it, to that they obviously think that he's the franchise quarterback. So, but doesn't necessarily mean you have to pay him like, you know, the franchise quarterback. There's a lot of, you know, contributing factors that go into it. They've got one of the best offensive lines going around, you know, in the NFL right now. Definitely, so they're protecting him. So if you protect the quarterback, you protect him, then they can do whatever the hell they want.
So, okay, so we've just signed Zeke. Let's say Dak gets his $27 million or whatever he wants. I don't think it's anywhere what he wants, but let's say he signs for $27.5 million.
I reckon he's going to get more than that, but yeah, that's so, what I think. I think he's worth in between that 25 to 30. I think he's going to get a lot more than that.
It'd be probably more close to $30 million.
I think he's going to get more than $30 million.
Really?
I think so.
You think Jerry will actually? Yeah, not so much break the bank,
but yeah, I think he's going to get north of $30 million, and to me, that's a mistake.
I agree, because the reason I was going to sort of bring it up, because if that's the case, you've still got your they all have a salary cap,
it's a salary cap sport. It's a hard salary cap sport.
So they've still got to sign Amari Cooper. Maybe not this year, but they've still got to sign Amari.
I think he's on 14 or 16 mil, so he's fine at the moment. But yeah, they do need to make sure that they've got a little bit of money. So like, obviously, he's not going to drop money. And if he keeps playing the way, you know, if Dak Prescott keeps playing the way that they are and makes Amari Cooper look even better than what he is, then he's up for a contract upgrade.
Yeah, correct. So
Julio Jones has got a massive contract as well.
That was the other one. He's coming up to Julio Jones is coming up to a massive contract, and probably worth it. I mean, touching on Julio Jones quickly. I think the value for him is definitely there. Just finishing with the Dallas, I think it'd be worth it. Yeah, you're right. He's probably going to sign north of 30. It's probably not going to be worth it. And they have to sign Amari Cooper. Otherwise, throwing away a first-round pick is absolutely ridiculous. No, but
that's right.
You know, yeah. Dallas have done worse things.
Cost them a first rounder. So that they've got the investment is there. So they've got to do something.
Hopefully they re-sign him. He's also come out. Dak said it doesn't matter. It doesn't bother him if he does. He'll play the whole season. It doesn't bother him if he's not going to sign a contract until the end of the year.
And I think he's that kind of guy as well. There's big raps on him as a locker room leader and all that sort of stuff. Yeah. You know, those intangibles are there for Prescott. You know, not necessarily for, you know, performances on the field. So I think, you know, that definitely helps as well. So, if, you know, if he can sort of, you know, you keep that core group together, they galvanize the locker room, and, you know, they're a title contender this year. Saints Cowboys for the NFC Championship game.
Yeah. Yeah, well, okay. We'll get closer to week 15 and 16 and we'll start talking about that.
Unfortunately, it's going to be in the Superdome. So, you know, you know.
Oh, yeah, of course it's going to be in the Superdome. Yeah, sure. Was there any other games you wanted us to sort of touch on?
The one that was a little surprising, sort of score-wise, I guess, was Minnesota and Atlanta. I think that's not so much a crazy overreaction, but Minnesota, you know, going super run heavy, and they just ran the ball down Atlanta's throat. You know, I think the Kirk Cousins was only 8 for 10. He threw the ball 10 times. That's it.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah,
everything else was a run. They just belted it straight down Atlanta's throat. Now, Atlanta's defense is supposed to be a lot better this year because there's not as many injuries. But for them to only put up 12 points is not so much a little concerning. But Minnesota's defense has always been good as well.
Yeah.
So yeah, finally they might actually live up to being a good defensive team.
Yeah.
in Minnesota, which is a hard place to go there and win. So Atlanta, I think Atlanta should be okay in the coming weeks. The offense will get better. I think for them, you know, a big miss is Tevin Coleman, who actually got hurt this week playing for the Niners. So, but they've still got Devontae Freeman. So their run game isn't really going to hurt too much. But they're going to be more of an aerial offense anyway. You know, when you got Calvin Ridley and Julio Jones as well. Yeah. So and Muhammad Sanu as well. So.
But like you just said,
offensively,
I mean,
they should be okay. But you know, Matt Ryan sort of, I thought he might have been trying a little bit too hard. I think he threw two interceptions. So, they should come together. They were a bit of a disappointment last year. You wouldn't like them to have another season like that. Otherwise, Matt Ryan's going to be on the hot seat. But that was sort of an interesting game for me, and sort of my big overreaction this week was the Philly Redskins game. Yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. It was in Philadelphia, and the Skins got out 17 zip. Yeah, that they came out and they punched Philly in the mouth.
Yeah.
It took so long for Carson Wentz
to get started.
But once he got on the groove though, you know, how quickly did he put on those points?
Yeah.
So I don't think there's really too much to worry about in Philadelphia. The defensively they'll get better as well. But they've got plenty to throw around. And yeah, you know, sort of like I said earlier with Wentz, he stays healthy and good things will happen in Philadelphia. So I think that's a bit of an overreaction. They come out, they got the win that they needed to, you know, it was a divisional game. So they got the win they needed, and you know that they move on from there.
Their prodigal son returned too, had a great game. DeSean Jackson, 154 yards.
How good was
eight receiving, 154 yards. So he
caught a couple of big bombs.
Yeah, like I was sort of touching on quickly. Carson Wentz he started very slow. And it probably wasn't just Carson Wentz, but the Philadelphia Eagles started very slow.
Offensively, they couldn't get anything going. Like listening to bits and pieces on the radio with that game, they couldn't get anything going. They were just three and out. So once they got rolling, and I think the big thing too is they didn't, I don't think they used Zach Ertz that much as well. Who was their best target was. Yeah. They'll definitely use him more as time goes on as well. But you know, they got a lot of threats out there as well.
Yeah. He only had 5 carries for 52 yards. But in a good way, if there is other targets
that's right.
For Carson Wentz, it might give Zach Ertz freedom, because I mean Zach Ertz's season last year was just insane, but that's because they couldn't throw to anyone else. So
well, I think he only became, did he only become the second tight end in history? I think Jason Witten did it first with 100 reception season, and then Zach Ertz got 100. I think it was 115 or something receptions. For a tight end, and I think that was their most targeted receiver. So I can go back to that, and they've also got the weapons out there as well with DeSean Jackson and Nelson Aguilar and those guys. Then they'll be a scary team.
And next week they are coming up against the Atlanta Falcons, so that will be probably a massive game to watch.
That's a big game.
If for Falcons, because if they go down 0-2, yeah, there's going to be alarm bells season for them.
Pressure's on.
So moving on to our next topic, Antonio Brown. Unfortunately, it's hard not to laugh.
Just a few things have been happening with Antonio Brown in the last, you know, sort of over the weekend and things, so... I think there's a little bit to get to, just a little bit.
Well, look, I mean, firstly, say, I mean, look, Antonio Brown's still a great player. I mean, at the end of the day, he's a phenomenal player.
No doubt.
And any team that has him, when his head's there, he's easily a 1,000-yard a season player. But ever since, I guess, the timeline, well, I'm not going to break down a whole timeline.
He's going to be a 6,000-yard receiver this year on the Patriots.
Well, yeah. Well, so talking about them sort of going to the Patriots. So he, in the offseason, he signed a contract with the Oakland Raiders. And from then on, or some point in his head, he's looked at this team
traded
and went,
there, yeah.
Traded there, sorry. And then he signed a contract. And he got traded there, then he signed a contract with guaranteed money, I believe.
Yeah.
A 3-year, $54 million or something along those lines. Yeah, but
14 and change. Yeah, 14 and change the first year and 14 and a half or something. Yeah.
And
he's pretty good guaranteed money.
He's gone there and something in the off season has happened. I don't know if it's been in his head or he's gone to this team, on my view, and just went, nah, there's no way I can play here. They're not a contending team. So he starts with this. What was happening in the feed? It was like there was frozen feed or.
Oh yeah, he went to France to get some sort of cryotherapy.
all the way to France to do that.
Didn't why I don't know why you got to go to France. There should be centers in the United States, and they're probably pretty good. But anyway, well, yeah, I think he went there and he didn't. Well, he didn't. I can't remember if the story was he didn't have socks or he wore damp socks in the cryo chamber.
I think he didn't have socks, if I remember. But
So he got frozen crispy feet. All the skin come off, and you see all the pictures on Instagram and everything. Jeez, he loves social media, but he put he put all the pictures of his feet on Instagram and everything, so he couldn't be at training camp. But he couldn't do much at training camp, but he was sort of there and wasn't there, and he was showing up to practices, not showing up to practices.
Yeah. So that's happened. They've got over it. You know, he's started to sort of train. Then, I mean, there's a lot of things going on, but then the helmet incident, which was only just last month, sort of come into this month. He's filed a grievance against the NFL over his helmet, saying, which I believe Tom Brady didn't use the same helmet, the old helmet. Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers, who didn't like the helmet. But you know, fell in line like any player should, and
you've got to use it. It's a safety device. You've got to use it.
Correct. And so he's started, filed a grievance against
it. It was outdated, and supposedly 3 or 4 years ago, the NFL came out and started to put these notices out to say, hey, this model of helmet is going to be coming up to being, 10 years old and out of date. You need to start thinking about using one of the newer model helmets. So
this was
not
like
as if you didn't have any short notice or anything. It was a long time.
Yeah,
and it's a lot of players have come out and said they don't really like it because obviously they like their old helmet and they're used to it. But unfortunately, it's there for a reason. It's a safety device. Unless you really want your brain to get super scrambled, then there's better technology for it, and it's a rule from the league, and you've got to comply to it.
Which he then ended up falling in line, saying he found a helmet that was felt agile and comfortable with it. But then it just deteriorated with them. Between little things like him getting letters and posting it, like you just said, on social media. Not turning up to mandatory team activities, allegedly fighting with the general manager, Mike Mainock, and it just kept going and going and going up until when he started using his YouTube channel I don't know. It's just, it was a chaotic thing. And he just kept going on with his YouTube channel about, like, you know, they're all liars. You know, it sort of felt like a get me out of this kind of thing.
Yeah. The staged YouTube clip that of him being released and him running around his backyard like a douchebag and saying, I'm free, I'm free, I'm free. And then ringing his grandma saying, oh, they freed me, they freed me. So it was, that was all, you know, obviously that was all pretty super staged.
Which I mean,
the video conversation that he had with John Gruden, which was before that, which in California law, if you didn't consent, then putting a conversation is illegal. So obviously it came out later that Gruden, before they posted it on social media, the young fella that was actually doing all the videos and everything for him, I didn't write his name down, but he was on the Levitard show a couple of days ago and did an interview with them, which was very interesting to hear what the situation was. You know, he was meant to be doing sort of hype videos. Well, that's what this young fella does. He does hype videos and things like that. And then all of a sudden he started recording all of this stuff. And then when it comes to the recording of the John Gruden call, it was his mark. It was Antonio Brown's marketing manager that says, no, hang on a minute. We can't put this out on social media because this is illegal. We can't do that. So I think it was about 45 minutes later, they actually, they had Gruden on the phone again, not taped. But he said, I love it. You know, I love it. Yeah, that's great. So Gruden gave his consent about the phone call that he and Antonio Brown had about, do you want to be a Raider? You know, we just want you to play football, blah, blah, blah. Obviously that was sort of all for nothing because, you know, within 48, well, not even that, you know, within 24 hours, he's gone. So,
So he's been released by the Oakland Raiders, which kudos to them. Like, I mean, it was just getting
they had to cut ties. And the way that everything was worded as well with those fines, it was conduct detrimental to the team, you know, and all those fines went up to like $215,000. With that terminology, they can essentially not. Well, yeah, it came out that they weren't going to guarantee his money, so that accelerated things a lot for him to go, right, you're not guaranteeing my. I'm going to find a way out of here any way that I can.
So then, the Patriots pick him up out of nowhere, which I think, like, surely that shocked everybody. Well, you see, some people sort of predicted it, but it sort of shocked everybody.
I think it shocked everybody just because it comes so quick.
Correct. So he signed a one-year deal for $15 million, including a $9 million signing bonus. So before we get into the other thing, it felt two-stage. Well, there is possibly another thing. but it seems to be every 48 hours or something with Antonio Brown. It felt like months ago, it felt two-stage that, like, he wanted out. He's gone there. He's going, nah, I want out. How do I get out? And then even, like, hearing little things of him allegedly going to social media influencers and saying, how do I get out?
How do I accelerate doing this? And then, you know, all the stuff coming out with him posting the fines and then, you know, him almost, coming to blows with Mike Mayock at a training session and stuff like that. You know, that obviously exacerbated those sentiments that he wants to get out of there. So, I think that sort of accelerated that situation, and then lo and behold, there he is, there he is in New England.
And so, you're agreeing? You think it was staged?
I don't think it was staged that long ago.
Intentionally, I suppose. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I don't think it was. Yeah, I don't think it was. It's not so much stage, but yeah, it was. Yeah, I think his intentions became pretty clear.
Yeah,
that he wanted out, but I don't think it was orchestrated that long ago. That he wanted out, and obviously there would have been a lineup of teams looking to sign AB. But if once he's in this Patriots system. They've got a million receivers there now. They've obviously let Demaryius Thomas go, opens up a little bit. But they still got Julian Edelman, Philip Dorsett, and Josh Gordon, along with Antonio Brown. So that's not a bad receiving core to have. No. James White catches passes out of the backfield as well. So they got plenty of Tom Brady's got a plethora of options to sort of throw to.
And I really think. Truly, Bill Belichick can, like he's done to every player, keep him in line and get what they need out of him. And then if he goes sign a big paycheck next year with another team, that's fine. They got their value out of him.
I don't know how long he could keep. With recent behavior, especially with his final few weeks in Pittsburgh. Just the personality that's coming across that he seems to be. I honestly don't know how. I don't think he's gonna last. And that's just me. I honestly don't think that he's gonna last because Bill Belichick, he ain't gonna take no crap. Fall into line with that system, but it's the Patriot way, it's the Bill Belichick way or the highway. And he's not going to take any of the rubbish. And if because they've got so many options at wide receiver, if he has a couple of games where he doesn't start getting his touches and his catches, what happens then? Is he going to be able to bite his tongue say anything? Well, to me, of course he has to, but is he going to be able to do that? And I don't know, just the behavior that he displays recently, I don't think he's going to be able to do that. I don't know if he lasts. I don't know if he can get through the end of the season. And the thing is, the Patriots are going to win. The Patriots are going to win without him. So it's going to be no skin off their nose to just go, righto, you're a disruption. See you later.
Well, that's right. And he, it's hard. He's either got to play for a new contract and get in line or just do what he's been doing and then just fall out of the NFL altogether. The thing is, if he doesn't fall in line, he's gone. Yes.
If he can't fall in line, if he can't, essentially not so much fall in line, but, fit inside that Patriot system and, be productive and just do what he needs to do. What other team is going to take a chance on him? I know there will be a team or multiple teams is going to take a chance on him, but you don't know. He's costing himself money.
No, that's right. He won't be the star there. And that's insane that, Gronk come. But no one is. See, it's funny. Gronk out. What's a recent video clip of the Gronk? The Gronk. Rob Gronkowski.